I want to share with you this morning something that just a little something I hope it'll be a blessing to your heart. I want to read again a passage. I think I've read this almost every Sunday since we started in December, but look in Luke chapter number 2. Once again, we never tire of reading these passages of scriptures for sure. But in Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I'll read that last phrase again, which shall be to all people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for your mercy and grace. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now would do what no man could do. I pray you'd convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts here in the building and in the radio audience and the internet audience. And I pray, God, that you'd use the word of God this morning to pierce hearts. I pray, our Father, that God, those of us who know you, Lord, as we worship this morning, that you'd get all the praise and honor and glory. We magnify your name. And God, for friends who may not know your Savior, I pray, God, they'd come to know your Savior and know the real joy of Christmas. And Father, I pray, God, you'd bless him. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been listening to Christmas music. In fact, I had to have an MRI this week, and the guy asked me, what did I want to hear? And I said, I play some Christmas music. And so he played me Christmas music while I was having an MRI. But most of you, like me, been listening to it since Thanksgiving. You're probably getting a little bit tired of it, just a little bit. But I love the music. I love the traditional type of Christmas music, certain of those songs that we sing at the church and that honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And I appreciate God's blessing. But one of those songs has a little phrase in it. It says that it's the happiest time of the year. Christmas is the happiest time of the year. Well, sadly, statistics show that's not true for everybody. But for the most of us, it is. It's a happy time of the year. And then there's another traditional type Christmas song that has a phrase in it. Why can't every day be like Christmas? You ever wonder that? Do you ever have the feeling you wish it'd stay like Christmas all the time? I was thinking about that little phrase, the happiest day of the year. I got to think about one of the ads for Disney World. Says it's the happiest place in the world. Now, that may be true, but it's not the happiest place of all, is it? Amen. I'm glad that this is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. But my wife, we've been shopping, and I saw Phil, and I saw somebody else, and men have a shopping stance. Only if you ever watch men shop with their wives. Here's the way men feel shop, just like this right here. I was walking behind Regina, and he was walking behind Jana, and I said, we've got it. And that's the way you go. And you ought to do like this, fellas, I'll be honest with you. That's the way you ought to do it. But Christmas. But she was wrapping some gifts and had this big bag of stuff which she'd bought, and it was a plastic bag. And I picked it up to look at it, and here's what it said. It said, Christmas 365. Now, some of you know what store that might have reference to, and you may have seen the ads. Christmas 365. And I know that in that particular chain of stores, they have a section where they've got Christmas year-round. And I got it in my heart, why can't every day be like Christmas? Christmas 365. Now, I know that they're not talking about the hustle and bustle of Christmas. They're not talking about the strain on your wallet or your budget. That's not what they're talking about. That wouldn't encourage anybody to want a Christmas 365. They're not talking about the crowds or the stress to buy the right gift or to get through on time. They're not talking about any. They're not talking about the cleaning and the decorating and the cleaning and the cooking and the cleaning and the taking down decorations and the cleaning. They're not talking about any of that. That's not what they're talking about. What are they talking about when they're saying that we want every day to be like Christmas? And what is it that I believe would be a blessing to me and you in 2013 if every day was like Christmas, like this time of the year? Well, there's what they call, what people have described as the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas. What is that spirit of Christmas? Well, I think part of it is the spirit of giving. It's during that time of the year especially that people who are in church and out of church seem to have in their heart a spirit of giving. They want to give to other people and share those type of things. It is a sense of family. It seems to me that Christmas time is one of the times when families get together. And I pray for families because I know there's some this Christmas who are very sad. And while they love their family and they're going to try their best to get through, it's going to be difficult because some key members of their family are now in heaven. It's going to be hard. And there are some families, of course, who have divided families and family problems going on even in this time of the year. And I pray for that. But by and large, one of the things that we call Christmas spirit is that sense of family, that there's a closeness and there's a love, and we're anticipating getting home. I was talking to Andrew the other day, and I saw somebody driving down the road, and they had a car top carrier. And I was telling Andrew that for years that I pastored me and Regina and our family down in Valdosta, Georgia, before we came here for 7 years. We were in Florida for 10 years, and we had to travel back. And I remember that deal of loading up all the Christmas, loading everything together, and packing the car with the youngins and everything else, and dog, and traveling home, and all those experiences. But we'd do anything to get home for Christmas, to be with family. And so there's that sense of family, and I think God, that's part of the spirit of Christmas, is that spirit of family. There's music in the air. Like I said, I've had that song, play those Christmas music over and over again, and we've got a selection of CDs that we play. And then you can go to 92.5, and they're playing Christmas music, and local people playing Christmas music, and you get all kind of music. But there is a sense of music in the air. You hear it in the mall. You hear people humming. It's just that lightness about music that blesses us. That's part of the spirit of Christmas. And then it's happy memories. Many of you, as you think about Christmas, you're putting up ornaments that you connect happy memories to and things. Even go back in your childhood and you think about things that happened in your childhood that were good. A lot of us had things that weren't necessarily good around Christmas, but most of you do have happy memories. And so when we're saying Christmas 365, we're thinking about that music in the air and the sense of family and the spirit of giving and happy memories. And then it's a time when our lifestyle is altered just a little bit. While you still have to go to work, while you still have to do those things, it's still that seems like your priorities have changed just a little bit. And you do those things that are necessary, but the whole motivation is this idea of the Christmas spirit. You kind of plan everything around all your Christmas activities and all that you've got going on. Those are wonderful things. And then at Christmas time, there seems to be a deep desire in most people to give other people joy. I remember years ago as we had all our kids at home and they were young and we'd go back and forth to Regina's mom and dad, and her mom would always say, I said, Mary Rose, what you want for Christmas? And she said, I just want everybody to be happy. I want us to have a good time and everybody to be happy. And I thought she's kidding. I thought sure she wanted something, Chanel number 5 or something. But she didn't. You know, really what she wanted was for everybody to have joy. And the spirit of Christmas is to want to have for folk to be happy and for to have real joy in the heart. And then I think that spirit of Christmas seems to be especially a sense of appreciation and love. I appreciate so much what folk have done for us prior to Christmas and through Christmas. And every card, we keep every card. And if you get to come by our house, Becky, have it all done. I don't do it anymore, but we let her do it when she gets here. But every card that we've gotten, every card you get, will be stuck up all around our house. We have them stuck up for everybody to see, and we're just so blessed. But there's so many things about Christmas that gives you a sense of love and appreciation. All that's what they're talking about. But I want us to look back at this passage of Scripture, and I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the real Christmas 365. And I found that emphasis in this one little verse I read to you here. I believe it's what the Holy Ghost of God intended for it to be. I do not believe that He intended for this joy, this good tidings and great joy to be just for that one little group of shepherds on that one night. I believe He intended for it to be Christmas 365. All that's good, all that's a blessing, all that encourages us about Christmas is to be 365. And notice the little phrase that I had you to reread. It said, which shall be to all people, which shall be to all people. Now, He didn't mean to all the shepherds. He didn't mean to all the folk in that general locale around Bethlehem. He didn't mean all of Israel. He didn't mean all of the people that were living in that particular time. What does that phrase mean? It means to all people. It means to every race, to every nationality, worldwide. Here's the joy. There's a great joy. And he said, that's the intent of Christmas. It is for all people, every person, not only every nationality, not only every race, but all people of all ages, all time. From that day to this, 2012, soon to be 2013, that's the message of Christmas, that he intended for every person, red or yellow, black or white, every nationality, to have the spirit and the joy of Christmas every age, every year, and then at all times. That's what it's all about. It is Christmas 365 every day for every person in all the whole world. That's the intent of Christmas. And notice the message. He said, it is a message, good tidings, of great joy. Here's the message of the manger. What is it? What is it? It is a joy of love expressed. So many people during this time of the year will be sad in the happiest time of the year because they don't feel loved. But that the message of the manger is this. Somebody loves you. Somebody really loved you. And you ought to live every day of your life getting up and saying this, there's somebody who loves me. There's somebody who really cares about me. You may not be able to say that about your mom and dad. You may not be able to say that about your husband or your wife or your children sometime, but you'll never, ever be able to say that about the Lord, because the Bible said he loves you with an everlasting love. His love never changes. And Christmas 365 means this. Every day of my life when I get up, I know the joy of being loved. He loves me. He loves me. Can I tell you something that just really blows my mind? I know I've told you before, and you say, well, Brother Billy, everything blows your mind. That's because I got such a little mind. But it does blow my mind. Here it is in John 17, in what is really the Lord's Prayer. The Lord prayed this, and here's what he said. He said, Father, thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine loving, being loved by God as much as he loved his own son, Jesus? God the Father loves you as much as he loved Jesus. Boy, that's awesome, isn't it? I get tickled when I think about that. Bobby Bowden used to coach down at Florida State. He's a great guy. I got to hear him two or three different times in person and shake hands with him. He used to come up to Valdosta, First Baptist Church, to do a men's fellowship. He's a great Christian. Bobby's a great Christian. But he said he was in a church one time and they had this fiery evangelist preaching, and he was trying to illustrate the love of God. And he said, Brother Bobby, you've got five or six sons. He said, which one of them would you be willing to let die? And he said, would you be willing to let one of your sons die? And Bobby said, I'm not sure which one you're talking about. And so, but there's times, you know what I'm talking about if you've got any children. But anyway, but Jesus, listen to this. The spirit of Christmas, this is being loved, the joy of being loved. And he loves you. Oh, you say, Brother Billy, he loves you when you're good. No, he loves you all the time. Loves you when you're good, loves you when you're bad, loves you when you're up, loves you when you're down, loves you when you're faithful to him, loves you when you're not. He just loves you with an everlasting love. He said, you know what? He said, can a woman forsake her sucking child? He said, that might happen. He said, but I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can't quench that love. That love cannot be quenched. He loves you with an everlasting. That's the real spirit of Christmas. 365, every day of the year, you ought to know that Jesus loves you and that he cared for you. And then notice this, it is a joy of personal value. He came to those shepherds and he said, there's born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior. It's to you, personal value. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's an awesome verse. I love that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. To think about him loving the world. But sometimes it seems that we look from where we are to the world and we forget to see the other person. That's us. Personal value. He loved you. He knows you. Oh, you say, Brother Bill, I don't have any gifts. I don't have any abilities. Not much I can do. Brother Earl said, I don't have much to say. Brother Earl's not very talkative, but he's a great man of God. He's faithful, got a heart. Got a heart for people, got a heart for kids. And to know this, that every person in this building, every person in the sound of my voice, that Christmas, the spirit of Christmas, is a spirit of the joy of personal value. You may feel like your mom's throwed you away, your family's throwed you away, but he said, you're valuable to me. Valuable to me. Personal value. So often people wonder, how do you equate value? What's it worth? Christmas gift. My wife's good. She wants to try to manage, make sure everybody gets the same amount dollar-wise of gifts. I try to tell her that, you know, but she don't listen. But anyhow, she just get in that mode. She's ready to go. But some of the greatest gifts I've ever had, dollar-wise, didn't count for much. I mean, the dollar-wise wasn't a lot. But most people evaluate value by the price that's paid for it. You know what I'm talking about? But the Bible said this, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree and he died. I'm going to tell you how much you're worth. You're worth the death of the Son of God. You're worth the shed blood of Christ. And Christmas reminds us of personal value. The devil will beat you down. And he'll tell you you're nothing and nobody loves you, nobody cares. But Jesus loves you and you're a great value. You're valuable to him. You are described in the book of Malachi as jewels. You're a jewel. I'm telling you, in the sight of God, you're a great treasure. He loves you. And my dear friend, Christmas is that idea of the joy of personal value, that I'm his. He loves me. And thank God for that. The joy of Christmas is the joy of having your greatest need met. For you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. I am so appreciative to people for taking care of us financially over all these years. God's people bought our cars. God's people. Now, part of the time I worked bivocational through a lot of my ministry. But even at that, it was God providing that. I'm not saying that, but it was God providing. But by and large, it's God's people who've helped to buy my clothes, buy my kids' clothes, pay our light bills and all those things ever since I've been in the ministry. And I am sure appreciative for you taking care of that. From time to time, we have folk in our church who have special needs. Cancer invades their home. There's some tragedy. And our church has such a loving, giving heart. Y'all step up and you give and you give and you give and you give and you share. And those are wonderful. And thank God for it. That's a testimony of God living inside of you, the spirit of giving. But the joy of having the greatest need met. When it's all said and done, I lay in the hospital bed and you've been to other places and you've seen other people do the same thing. You know what really mattered to me at that particular time? It was just my family. But I laid there and I told you this earlier. That I did it, I never saw any bright lights. Listen, the morphine was real good and strong. But I never had any, you know, out-of-body experiences, none of that that people write books about. But I don't care how bad I was hurting. I don't care how bad shape they all said I was in, how high my blood pressure was. In my heart, there was just a real deep sense of peace. Just a real sense of peace. Because I knew, and like somebody told me earlier today, that the greatest need of my life had already been met. I didn't need to have healing. I didn't need to have this or that or the other. But there was a day that I had to have my sins forgiven. I had to know him. Jesus said, except you be born again, you can't see heaven, you can't enter in. And I had the greatest need of my life met up in a cotton mill town, Roanoke Rapids, not far from here, when I was a young boy. When I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart, he'd paid the debt on Calvary. But the joy I get up every day in this, knowing this, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I thank God for that. Oh, that's the joy of Christmas, to knowing that he loved me and knowing that he thinks I'm worth something. And knowing that he's come to meet my personally, that's Christmas 365 days a year. 365 days a year. Get up every day with the joy of Christmas. And then there's the joy of His earthly presence. You ever thought about that? These shepherds, from the time they were boys, had heard about Jehovah God. I mean, they'd heard about Him. They knew about Him. I personally believe, as somebody had shared with me, and I shared it with the church some time ago, that these were what were called Levitical shepherds. They were there. Their special job around Bethlehem, the city of David, was to raise and to nurture lambs for slaughter, sacrifice. And there was a certain lamb that they knew would come one day, and they were going to go see Him. They got to see God outside of Mary and Joseph. These shepherds were the first one to ever see God in human flesh. Wow. The joy of His earthly presence. And can I tell you something? The joy of Christmas is this: knowing that He came and that we've got to know Him. And that's the joy of personal knowledge of Him. Christmas is the joy of personal relationship with Him. I'm talking about a holy God. Shepherds got to see God in the flesh. They got to worship Him. They got to leave out praising God for what they'd seen and heard. They got to see Him. They got to know Him. The spirit of Christmas is the spirit of His earthly presence. And when you get saved, the Bible said He comes in our heart crying, "Abba, Father." He's with you everywhere you go. Every day is Christmas for those who know the greatest needs of their life has ever been met, has already been met, and they know that they have a personal relationship with Him. And that name, Emmanuel, God with us. The joy of Christmas is this, is knowing that He's with us all the time. And so when you take the lights down and you put them in the box and all the decorations and everything and put that up, nothing changes. He still loves you. You're still valuable to Him. He still met the need of your life. You still have a personal relationship with Him, and He'll be with you for the rest of the year. Now, sadly, some people don't know that. And the reason there's such a high instance of suicide at the close of the Christmas holiday, one of the highest instance of suicide in this nation, is the week after Christmas. You know why? Because of the disappointment. They had such great high expectations of that holiday from childhood memories that it would take away all their cares and all the worry, and it didn't. It left them empty. The reason being, because they didn't know Him. And if you don't know Him, there's no way in the world you can have Christmas 365. But you can have Him today. The Bible said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It'd be a sad thing to me for you to leave here without knowing Christ today. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Christmas 365. Christmas 365. You can have that great joy every day of next year if you have Him in your heart and life. I'll ask you a question. How many of you, before you ever put up the first Christmas tree or the first decorations or before you ever sang the first Christmas carol, in your own heart, you already were experiencing the Christmas spirit because you had Him. You knew Him as Savior. Would you raise your hand? Hallelujah. Praise God. That means that when Christmas is over, the time, the celebration, the food, all that, you'll still have Him. Thank God for that. I wonder this morning if you'd be honest in the building, boys and girls, teenagers, men and women, if there's a person here or many who'd say, "Preacher, I do not know Him personally. I don't know Him. I've never been saved. If I died right now, I wouldn't go to heaven. But I want to know Him. I want to know the joy of having Him in my heart and life. And preacher, would you pray for me that I'd be saved before it's too late? Nobody will see your hand but me and God. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I sure would love the privilege to pray for you this morning." So by uplifted hand, would you say, "Preacher, if I died now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Would you please pray for me?" Across the building, would you do that? I'm looking, boys and girls, men and women. Anybody in the building? I want you to stand with your heads bowed. I want to pray. Brother Brad's going to sing a verse of a song. for invitation a moment? I think I've always enjoyed Christmas. I don't remember Christmas that I didn't enjoy being with the church where God let me be, or with my family that I love so much. But I have really enjoyed this year from the very get-go. The choir, going to the nursing home with them. The parties, the getting-togethers, the fellowship. Maybe you're the same way. And you know, it wouldn't be that way if you weren't saved. And so ultimately, foremost, you ought to thank Him for His grace and mercy. I didn't see a hand raised that said we don't know Him. That'd sure be great if you knew Him. But if for some reason you don't, when Brad sings in a minute, I want to invite you to come. Somebody will pray with you. Maybe you've got a special burden or care. Please, I want you to come. I'll get some ladies who will pray with the ladies, men who will pray with the men. If you've got a burden this morning, don't carry it through the holidays by yourself. You're loved. You're loved by the Lord. You're loved by this church. Folk will love you and pray for you. I'd invite you to come get around the altar and let folk pray for you. Maybe you just want to come and thank Him. But if you're not saved, I pray you get saved. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit right now, make real Our Father, Christmas 365. I pray that people could know the joy of Christmas every day of their life. And I pray, God, that, Lord, You'd help us to allow You to give us that joy. I pray, God, if there's a lost man, a woman, boy, or girl here, dear Lord Jesus, speak to them. I pray, God, You draw them by Your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. God, I pray that You bless Your people.